Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Daryl Bauer with the Fisheries Group at the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Good morning, Daryl. How are you doing?
Hey, Rick. I'm doing good. How are you this morning?
We were talking with a couple friends the other day about how long you've been with the Game and Parks, and I told them, I said, I think there was only one fish when you started.
Yeah, and I caught that one.
Very good. So how are things going back in Lincoln today?
Well, spring is in the air. Things are starting to roll.
That's every time, you know, this time of year when I try to get you on the radio, it's like, I don't know how I luck out and do it, because you've probably got a rod sitting right at the edge of your desk and you're leaving as soon as we're done.
Well, there's that going on, and then we're getting busy with some field work this time of year too, and getting over the virus, we're finally getting crews back out in the field like we used to.
Right.
So things are feeling a lot more normal around here, and it's great. We love this time of year.
Some of the work that's going on, and I saw a couple news releases recently, they're talking about creel surveys, and I wanted to touch on that one. What exactly is a creel survey?
Well, it's more, maybe less confusing to call them angler surveys, because unless you're a trout fisherman, you might not know what a creel is, or you might not have a creel. But traditionally, they've been called creel surveys, but what they are is just angler surveys in the field on the water. So we can see exactly what the anglers are doing.
And then my next question would be, is when somebody shows up to do one of these surveys, how does that affect or impact the angler themselves?
Well, sure, and we try and keep impacts to a minimum, but we do have to talk to anglers to, you know, collect that data. So the creel clerks will approach anglers and ask, it's basically answering questions about, you know, how long you've been fishing, where are you from, you know, what were you fishing for, things like that. So we try to keep that as short and sweet as possible, because we realize the guys are out there to fish and don't want to spend any time, you know, away from that. So the creel clerks try and collect that information as quickly as they can, but please know that it is extremely valuable information, and taking a few minutes to help us with those creel surveys sure helps a bunch.
Well, that leads me into my next question. Is, you mentioned a couple things about where the person is from and what they're fishing for, but what other type of data are you trying to get? And then how is that data used to help the fisheries group and the future of fishing in Nebraska?
Sure. There's two main parts. One part is how many anglers are out there. So during the survey, on a survey day, there'll be at least one and probably two periods where they'll just count anglers to get an idea of how many anglers there are on the water at that point in time. So that is one part, because that will, you know, that'll give us an estimate of the amount of angling pressure. And then, like I said, then the individual interviews, we can learn things, you know, about, you know, some demographics, where they're from, what they're fishing for, and then, of course, what they've caught, too. That's another important part of the creel survey, is actually seeing what's in the creel or what was caught and released. So that's important information we get from the anglers, too. And like I said, it's just incredibly valuable information. It gives us good estimates of, like I said, angling pressure, fish caught, fish harvested, where our anglers are coming from, how much time they're spending. It gives us an idea how valuable that fishery is to the angler in a lot of different ways.
Now, when you're talking to the guy and they're talking about, you know, I caught so many bluegill of this size or so many bass of this size, does that help you then determine what you might need for stockings in the future? Is that some of the data?
Absolutely. That helps us evaluate our management practices, including, you know, stocking, and then, of course, length limits and regulations, too. So, like, you know, that's how we get some of that information. Is, unless you go in the field and survey the anglers, we really don't have concrete data on that.
I'm sure you remember Monty Madsen.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Monty told me one time, and it surprised me, and it still kind of amazes me. He says, Lake Maloney, when they did their calculations of angler hours on the water,
yep.
Lake Maloney was one of the hardest hit lakes in the state.
Yep.
And he attributed that primarily to the railroad, the guys that fished from the railroad, and they don't have a normal Monday through Friday work week. They're all the time.
Yep. And sometimes we find surprises like that, where when you get down, do the survey and start figuring out the data, you find out there's a lot more angling pressure out there than maybe what we thought, you know, before we did the survey. So like I said, it's good to have that concrete and actually have the numbers to go with it.
Just somebody asking me that cold without any background knowledge at all, what is the lake that is fished most in the state of Nebraska? My thought would probably go first to something back east where there's a higher population.
Right.
Or McConaughey or Merritt.
Right. And also need to consider the size of the body of water, you know.
Right.
When we talk about hours per acre of fishing pressure, and if you talk in those terms, then some of our smaller waters back here in Metro Omaha, we have thousands of angler hours per acre on those waters. So they're very heavily fished, but in terms of total anglers, something like McConaughey has more, but you got a lot more water there too.
Just because of that population density there and how many people fish, I'm amazed that places like Zarinsky Lake or Warspahn Lake can even get a legal size fish up there.
It is, and especially when you look at those numbers and just try and imagine that thousands of hours of angler hours per acre. It is pretty amazing, but again, as a biologist, I tell you, it points out the importance of clean water and good habitat, because if you have
exactly.
that, you can produce some good fishing in spite of heavy pressure.
Just a side note, I got off on a discussion earlier this week talking about blue herons.
Uh-huh.
And I remember a professor of mine in college, he said that if you see blue herons, you've got a healthy ecosystem, because what they feed on is the first thing impacted by pollution. And once their food is gone, the herons are gone.
That's probably a good observation.
And I have never forgot that. I've always used herons as a barometer for what it's like, you know, where I'm going, what the water quality might be like.
Yeah.
That and dragonflies.
Yeah.
Dragonflies only hang around good water, so that's I was doing some research one time, and that's how the pioneers found good water when they were coming across in their wagons.
I never thought of that.
They followed the dragonflies. Victoria Springs is one of those areas.
Stayed away from those alkaline waters.
Right.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
The Native Americans taught them that, and they utilized that knowledge. So.
Yeah.
See, you just learn all kinds of things on this show.
That's right. Good Friday morning. Yep.
Now let's get into something that's probably more people are thinking about. This springtime, of course, everybody's thinking about fishing. We've already got guys out. I look out the back of the house across Lake Maloney, and there's guys out there hammering for walleye already.
Oh, yeah.
The only complaint I've heard so far is the boat docks aren't in. But they're getting there.
Yeah, it takes us some time.
Bluegill is one of those fish that I think everybody either fishes for or has fished for if they're learning about angling.
Yep.
And probably one of those that signifies spring is here. So, in talking about bluegill across the state, what can you tell us about them, and where might be some of the best spots to go look if you're actually in the market for trophy bluegill fishing?
Sure. And you guys out in the western and central part of the state have some of the best of both there. We often, when I'm talking to you, end up talking about the interstate lakes, and you can pick just about any of those and take the kids to and catch some bluegills. So those are good resources and valuable resources to have. Our sandhill lakes are known for producing big bluegills too. So you get up north into the hills there. Oh, gee, Fry Lake, Avocet, Smith. Those all have some really big bluegills in it. And if you were looking for, you know, a trophy bluegill, you can catch them up there.
Okay, we're going to move on to another one of the species that's hit hard in the spring. That's walleye.
Oh, yeah, you bet. And, again, my speech on walleye is always, you know, our big bodies of water are best walleye habitats. And in Nebraska, that means our reservoirs, which, again, are out in your part of the state. So you're sitting right in the middle of some of the best there. Of course, McConaughey's always near the top of the list. So's Merritt. So's Elwood. Your canal reservoirs there, Sutherland and Maloney, where they're fishing the inlets already, are more eaten-sized fish, but good numbers of those fish. So there's plenty of walleye opportunities out there and some of the very best in the state.
How's Harlan County for walleye this year? Or what's
good.
It look like?
Good? Yep, been good last few years. Should be good again this year. Lots of opportunity there on Harlan for a variety of species.
I enjoy fishing Harlan Reservoir.
Yep.
I get down there maybe once or twice a year.
Yep.
A couple other areas that I'm going to try to concentrate this summer on and go to more is Southwest. Get down to Red Willow and Medicine Creek and Swanson down in those areas.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you bring that up. Red Willow is one that I'd definitely be planning some trips to. You know, it had the low water for several years there while they were working on the dam. Well, that's all over with, and water levels have rebounded, and those fish populations are rebounding right now, too. So Red Willow would be one of our very best crappie reservoirs this year. And you know what? The wipers are still there. The walleyes and sawgay are looking really good. Bass population's really good. So, yeah, we were out at Red Willow last summer, and I was very impressed with the way things looked out there.
I was down at Red Willow about a week and a half ago. Went down and met up with Eric Riggins, and the superintendent, and he toured me around a couple areas we were looking for maybe a magazine article coming up. But he was telling me about the crappie and how they've rebounded.
Yep.
And then when it comes to Red Willow, I know there are wipers there because you see Steve Lytle's boat somewhere.
Oh, yeah. It's still one of our best wiper fisheries. Swanson's really good down there in the Southwest Reservoirs for wipers, too.
Very good. A couple other species in the spring, a little later maybe because of water temperatures, but largemouth bass, what about them?
Well, again, I love the interstate lakes. Pick one. You can catch some good bass out of just about any of them there. In fact, if you look at our fishing forecast for this year, you'll notice several of them on the list there, Fremont Slough, East Hershey in particular, even Birdwood where we stock the trout, there's some nice bass in there. So when the trout aren't there, you might think about doing some bass fishing out there too. And then again, if you get a chance, those Sandhill Lakes are, some of them are just loaded with bass, and you can have a blast throwing topwaters or something up there on one of those lakes and catching, you know, a bunch of 15 to 20-inch bass.
I have had a chance, been lucky enough to get on some of those bass ponds that are out in the middle of a ranch, and it's all private ground, and you can have an absolute ball fishing out there. Both of the ranchers that I go to normally, we pretty well adhere to catch and release, keep the fish healthy and go, but you can get tired of fishing almost.
Yeah, and those pits, some of our private pits and ponds around the state are some of the very best bass fisheries in the state. And you know, a lot of our anglers have access to those waters, so there's some opportunity to catch some really nice bass out of those waters.
You mentioned East Hershey Wildlife Management Area.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite lakes to send people to when they've got kids and they want to fish for bluegill.
Yep.
It's kind of a rare interstate lake in the fact that the southeast corner of that lake, it's a very shallow, you know, the water the depth of the water increases just a little bit as you walk out from the shore. Most of those lakes, most of those lakes, you step a foot away from the bank and you're in 10, 15 feet of water.
Right, that drop off's right next to shore. Yep.
So it's a safe lake to take kids, and it's just full of hungry bluegill and rock bass.
Yep, we've caught some nice rock bass out of there over the years.
And I tell people that, you know, kids, they don't care whether it's bluegill or barracuda as long as it's biting.
Exactly. Yep.
And so anyway, last one before commercial break, smallmouth bass, one of my favorite.
You bet. And you guys are blessed. The canal system there has probably for numbers of smallmouth as many or more as any water we have in the state. So that's one place to look. And then some bigger fish in some of the reservoirs. McConaughey's getting a reputation for being a really good smallmouth fishery.
On that south shore, yes, yeah, it is.
Yep, including some big fish. And then, you know, the canal reservoirs themselves, Johnson, Sutherland, Maloney, you might see a few bigger smallmouth in the reservoirs there than what you catch out of the canal. But you can go down on that canal and just have a blast catching smallmouth.
I still want to get you out here one day, and let's go use my long jigging poles, because that's just a riot.
We keep talking about that. And you know, I grew up riding the bike out there to the canal all summer long catching smallmouth bass.
That would do it. We're going to have to take a commercial here, Daryl, but I got a few more species I want to cover when we get back. So
sure.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Daryl Bauer this morning with the Nebraska Game and Parks Fisheries Group. And I can't remember your official title, Daryl.
Oh, it's not that important, Rick.
I know I tease you, and then every now and then I'll tease, like, Jeff Rawlinson. Is there as many digits in the paychecks as there are letters in the title?
Yeah, we wish.
We wish. Okay, back to talking fishing. We mentioned Wiper, but what about them, and where would you go?
Well, you mentioned Red Willow, and I mentioned Swanson's also looks really good for Wipers. And then I tell you, for big Wipers, McConaughey and Elwood would be two of the best in the state for your chance at trophy Wipers, and including some of the biggest Wipers there are in the state.
I've fished Elwood for Wipers several times, and that's one of the primary reasons I go back to that lake.
Yeah, I love that lake.
It is, it's got a lot of fingers in it, a lot of little canyons that run off of it. And I'll watch the birds, and when I see the birds heading in one direction, I'll go over there and start trolling. And a lot of times I can hook into Wipers Everpass.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can't beat, when you finally catch up with a school of Wipers, it can be unbelievable.
And they hit like a freight train.
Yeah, yep. You better be ready, because that first run, if the drag's not set, you think something's going to break.
Something's going to break. Another spot I have found that not many people realize it, I've written about it a few times, but in the forebay, the NPPD forebay, right above the hydro, particularly when there's a south wind, and the wind is blowing everything towards
that north end,
toward the north end and the outlet where it goes down the penstock to the hydro, they gang up there and wait for the food to float to them. And I discovered that by accident one time, and like I said, I wasn't rigged correctly. But then I go back every now and then, and that's a good place to get. And for me, it's just a couple minutes from the house, so it's an easy one to get to.
Your comment about the wind's a good one, because those Wipers are open water predators that just follow those bait fish around, but the wind often pushes them towards the shoreline like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost always fishing with the wind in my face if I'm looking for Wipers.
There's more science in fishing than I think people give it credit for.
There is, but then there's still those days and those things that I got no explanation for.
That's just the fish telling you that you're not as smart as you think
exactly.
you are.
Exactly. That's what keeps us going every day, is you never know.
Now, a couple of my favorite quarries, maybe not so popular out in this part of the state, but catfish, channel cat and flatheads.
Sure.
Where would you go for channel?
Catfish are popular just about everywhere in Nebraska.
More so back in the eastern part of the state,
yeah,
but I think it's catching on out here.
Yep.
I tease my buddies that are the hardcore walleye anglers. You know, they'll go come in and say, "Oh man, I caught an 8-pound walleye." I said, "Great. You know, I just caught a 26-pound flathead."
Right. that's nothing. Yeah.
What I'm catching, eight year fish for bait.
Yeah, and that's exactly, those flatheads are the biggest, baddest predators in those waters.
That's right.
And some of them are big enough that it'll scare you. So, yeah, the canal system there has been, always has been, probably always will be one of our best flathead fisheries in the state. And there's some monster fish in there.
56.9 is my personal best right now.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Yep.
And that was out of the Coolin Pond at Sutherland.
Okay.
It's an underutilized area for catfishing.
And one that you could catch catfish out of pretty much any day of the year.
Yeah, Sutherland in the main lake, yes, particularly along the eastern and southern shorelines.
Right.
And channel cat is always there.
Right.
Maloney's not a bad channel cat spot. We've talked about the interstate lakes, and they've got some pretty good catfish in them, too, but not very many people go after them.
We've got catfish in just about all of them, and you'll find some big channel cats in some of them, too. A little bit smaller, so not, you know, the total numbers aren't as high, but definitely still a chance to catch some catfish out of those small waters.
Years ago, I was fishing where the tail race from the hydro comes into the South Platte River.
Yeah.
And you go around the bend there, and I was downstream probably 55, 60 yards and caught a nice flathead. And talking with Monty Manson later, I was amazed that I had a flathead. I mean, that's a heavy-duty riverine-type fish, and I had visions of this thing coming out of the Missouri and swimming all this way upstream. And
yeah,
and then he told me, no, they put them in the canal right by the shop.
Yeah.
Just went to kind of burst my bubble,
well,
but it's still
fun.
Well,
made a little bit of a migration.
Yeah, about a mile, two.
Yeah.
Do you ever get into just going out and specifically targeting catfish?
Absolutely. I've been known to, catch some live bait. And use them for the flatheads after dark, or cut them up for some big channel cats. You bet. I've done, again, growing up, some of that on those interstate lakes, just targeting, you know, some of the bigger catfish in those
right.
lakes.
Well, I hear music in the background, Daryl, and that's Tristan's way of telling me that we've run out of time.
It never takes us long to shoot up an hour, or
no.
a half hour, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I appreciate you taking the time to be with me again, and you go have a great weekend and catch some fish.
Will do, Rick, anytime.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.